This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is Lana. It's been a busy week as we've been covering the Republican National Convention live via our correspondents in Cleveland. If you haven't seen it, head over to the Red Ice Radio YouTube channel and find the latest streams. Well, it seems the police have been doing a thorough job and have quelled any potential outbreaks and brawls, the opposite of what some in the alternative media were reporting. Well, we'll be live streaming again Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, so don't miss it. The following interview was filmed and is available to Red Ice members at redicemembers.com. So for those listening, there may be some things we laugh at that you won't understand since you can't see. Joining me is the lovely Rachel Dahl, who runs the website alamodest.com. Who is she? She's a wife, a mother, and has cultured aesthetics with a tribal diet lifestyle and traditional values. She's a vintage fashionista, God-centric, natural parent, creative entrepreneur, and a dystopian and esoteric nerd. We'll talk about the paleo diet, the low-fat diet scam, the effects of too much Wi-Fi, but then we move on to discuss femininity, the values of a traditional wife, and even European identity politics. Rachel Dahl, up next. Rachel Dahl, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lana. Thank you for having me.
Well, I discovered you via Twitter, where you commented on a Wife with a Purpose post. And as you know, she's been a guest on my show several times. I love her. But when I saw that you were interested in, you know, paleo, organic, spirituality, new world order, and even fashion, I knew that we would hit it off. So tell us about your websites, alamodest.com and modernlifesurvivalist.com. What do you do there?
On Modern Life Survivalist, we talk about alternative health. I don't want to say alternative health because this stuff has been around for ages. So we talk about healthy living. We talk about chemical sensitivities. It's just a hodgepodge of, you know, how we can just survive the modern day warfare, you know, that they are bringing upon us through chemicals and lies, you know, through ideology and other things.
So you're not actually in a bunker, you know, behind a bunch of machine guns and canned food.
Yeah. Well, a bunch of machine guns is probably not a bad thing.
You
know? Yeah, exactly. You have to defend your home. Yeah. But we aren't, like, stacking away dry goods with corn and soy and wheat and all that. And
yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's against what we believe in.
Well, you also recently did a video about what is paleo, the basics. I'm big on paleo. I love the paleo diet. It works best for me. But tell us what the paleo diet is versus the modern diet.
The modern diet is consists of a lot of grains that we know. And it's, well, let's just talk about the standard American diet. The standard American diet usually has carbs as the majority of your calories, and you have a little bit of protein, and usually lean protein. I guess that's the healthy standard American diet, what they're pushing, you know, towards people now. Low salt, low fat, high carb. So I guess people know what the standard American diet is, but that's the lie that this is the healthy diet that we should be, you know, prescribing to.
Yeah, it's the diet of our ancestors is what we should be looking at. I mean, I'm Russian. I just think of my Russian ancestors surviving those brutal winters. There's no way they could go and hunt soy patties and eat beans and, you know, root vegetables all the time. I mean, humans, we're omnivores, right?
How would you be able to survive if, you know, vegetables don't even really exist in the dead of winter, right?
So I know. And then you watch movies like, or shows like Game of Thrones, and they just show them like brutes that are just eating tons of meat all the time, just gorging. But it's not like that either, right? It's not about gorging on meat all the time.
Right. It's definitely a misconception. And although I do like the paleo diet, I was just talking to my husband about this. The paleo diet has been, you know, pretty much overtaken by a lot of commercial products. And which is contradictory to what the paleo diet should be. They introduce a lot of bad things in there. And I think it's part of the misconception that you can just, you know, take this and that and let's add some things. Oh, and call it paleo because it is high fat. You know, you've got your coconut oil in there, but then add a ton of sugar or add a ton of coconut sugar. You know, like, coconut is natural, but it is a lot of sugar, and you wouldn't find that abundance of sugar, you know, in the wild in one little dish. So,
it's true. There's tons of paleo snacks now. I see them in Whole Foods too. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I'd say isn't exactly paleo either.
No.
So when you're cooking, you eat paleo. Give us an example of some of the things that you cook.
I was going to cook for lunch today until my husband bought Chipotle. zoodles. It's just zucchini, and I make it into spaghetti or fettuccine or whatever with a spiralizer, which is my favorite thing. And, I just put pure tomatoes in there, grind it up, and make into a sauce and add my herbs. And, that's a paleo dish because it is low carb and it has a lot of fat. We put a lot of butter while I'm cooking and while we're eating. So we cover both bases, make sure we've got most of our calories from the fat that we're eating. Well, normally, I guess if you would just hunt what you eat, you would just eat the whole animal, but because you can't really buy just the fat in a typical grocery store unless you go to your farm or some health food place, you kind of just have to superficially add in the fat, to the food that you're eating.
Yeah, I also like to add in butter. Raw butter is great if you can get it or make it, but I also like raw milk and raw cheese. I know some paleo people don't do that, but it's basically about, meats and vegetables, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is it's about being conscious of where your meat comes from. There's a lot of vegetarians and vegans that think that paleo people just gorge themselves on all this unhealthy meat that's pumped with, antibiotics and hormones and factory, farmed animals, but that's not the kind of meat that we're talking about, right?
Yeah. But when somebody says, you can get really sick on eating a lot of protein and a lot of fat, technically they are telling the truth because there's a lot of toxins in the fat that comes from an unhealthy animal. That is where a lot of our toxins go into. So it's confusing. They're not lying. The scientists aren't lying. The studies aren't lying, but they're just not taking into account, the good animals, the animals that are being fed with exactly what they should be eating, in nature.
Yeah, organic, free range, and then no toxic additives of any kind. I mean, that is the diet of our ancestors. A lot of people think, oh, you're being stuck up. What is organic? It's just a marketing trick. No, there actually is a lot to it, if you look into it. And that is how we should be eating. That's how our people were eating. It's nothing that's new and revolutionary, is it? It's just, it's something ancient. This is the way we used to eat.
Right. We did not need to have doctors even, unless somebody breaks their leg or, just severs their arm by accident. But, we didn't have our modern day, ailments that we have now. And sadly, a lot of these things, they attribute to genetics, but genetics doesn't actually control you. And we've allowed that to happen because of all the studies around genetics, all the obsession around genetics and how it controls you and you can't do anything about it. But you can, and we just need to take charge of that. We need to know what we're eating. We need to know what we're being exposed to in the environment and all these different things because it does affect you. It's called epigenetics. It's a study it's a field of science that, just takes into account the environment and how it relates to the turning on and off of our genes. So we can actually change our gene expression based on what we expose to and what we put in ourselves.
That's
really powerful stuff, to know.
Yeah, it's true. People go, they take these tests and they think, oh my gosh, I have a gene for cancer. And meanwhile, they're using all these like cancer causing agents, all these chemicals, eating all these chemicals. I'm like, that's the thing that's going to give you cancer.
I know. And then they have all these movies out, I actually can't name one, but I know I've seen movies that talk about or that show what people do, during their last days. Because they find out that they have cancer. And so it's like, it feels great, right? It feels great to just, and it touches your heart to see people like this, but you feel for them because you know that you can do something, they can do something about their condition. But, we've been lied to so much, and they really don't know any better, and we're just stuck here, and just they're just saying, okay, just enjoy your last days. And then there's that program for kids, you know, they get to see their favorite celebrity or whoever. Don't know if you know that program. I forgot what it's called, but, you know, just to celebrate your, yeah, romanticize your cancer, you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, what was it? The Big C. That was another show on HBO. And it's like, oh, there's nothing they can do about it. But then they end up paying all these huge bills. It's a huge industry, the cancer industry. I mean, we know that there's been other research on, you know, doing lots of green juices and really healing yourself a natural way. I know someone who did heal herself from colon cancer, actually, by just drinking tons of green juices every day. It was really quite amazing. I also wanted to talk about the low-fat diet scam. What can you tell us about that?
Low-fat diet scam. Well, it makes sense. Like, if you look at, well, the word fat, let's just start with that. The word fat is the same as the fat from an animal. You know, being fat and the fat from an animal is the same word. And I really wish that was different, because it doesn't equate, you know, being fat, you're eating fat doesn't equate to being fat. The low-fat diet really, I think, was pushed by people like Ansel Keys from the 50s, who came up with a 7 countries study, I believe is what it's called. But he was a vegetarian activist, and he eliminated a lot of countries that ate a lot of fat, you know, from their ancestors like Holland and Norway. Eliminated those countries so that he can study like the Philippines or China that focus on eating whatever, like, you know, a little bit of meat here and there, but more vegetables, more grains. And he took that in because it fit with his current view of health. And it was definitely a correlation, not a causation, that high fat relates to heart disease. He knew that, but somehow it was accepted at the time because it was backed up by the industry, you know, backed up by the cereal industry and wheat and, you know, soy. I just realized that soy and corn are both part of the stock exchange, so that makes it extra fishy, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. And there really is such a thing as grain brain. You know, I look around and I see your average Americans, you know, all this GMO really is making people sludgy and fat and lazy. I mean, you see a huge difference in this country from versus like the 50s. Think of when women were, think of how much smaller they were in America versus now. And what's changed? It's been a lot of this GMO and chemicals and processed foods. And we know, too, that this low-fat diet actually is a form of natural birth control for women.
It is.
You know, it makes you dumb because your brain needs fat. I know that when I'm hungry and I haven't eaten for a while, my brain's just not as sharp, you know, and then I eat some chicken or steak and, woo, I can feel my brains come back. You know what I mean?
Protein is mostly made of cholesterol. Babies' bodies need cholesterol in order to form correctly. And we just ignore all that, you know. And thankfully, you know, something as common and as accepted as the FDA suddenly just, you know, says to the public that, yeah, you can eat more than 3 eggs now. Cholesterol is not as bad as we said it was. And then now everybody accepts it because it's coming from a source that they have always trusted. But it's from, you know, a firsthand account, you know, from a person who cured themselves of, you know, what have you, disease. They don't believe it because, oh, they're probably just making it up, or it's just an outlier from their experience and it doesn't count, you know, it doesn't apply to me. But it's happened enough in other from other people's experiences that it works, you know, that eating more fat can save your gallbladder. You don't need to remove your gallbladder. It is part of your body. It was there for a reason.
Yeah,
you don't need to remove your appendix. And the medical community is like, oh, no, let's just take that out. It's not, you know, it's an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
And for your body.
Nature got it wrong, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're a hazard.
So what do you think about exercise, because I know a lot of paleo people, they like to do a lot of quick interval training, running. You know, they talk about like their ancestors. They weren't running long marathons. Usually they were chasing animals, right? Trying to hunt them down. So what kind of exercises do you like to do? Do you follow in line with a lot of the paleo lifestyle?
Well, there is the CrossFit side of paleo, which I think is actually pretty, you know, cardio based, because if you're part of that CrossFit community, and I'm not dissing CrossFit in general, I'm just talking about the whole, you know, culture of CrossFit. They push other people too hard beyond their limits, and you see other people and you just want to catch up. So I really like the idea of just, you know, doing weights on your own individually. That way you don't have to look at somebody else and try to outdo them, you know, or just lifting wood outside is what my husband too.
Good. That's good.
I know it's very paleo, but you know, we do sprints. I am a yoga instructor. I used to be before I became a mom, and that's totally fine. And I like doing the kind of yoga, hatha yoga, that doesn't, you know, transition too fast, which is typical of a lot of the yoga in studios nowadays. It's called, I guess, vinyasa yoga and hot yoga. Oh my goodness, that's like the worst thing. They just put you in an unnaturally hot environment and they make you do all kinds of things. And people are like close to death, you know. A lot of people have been taken.
That'd be my nightmare in this small, really hot room with lots of people closed in together. No thanks. Yeah. I don't like that.
It's gross. So
it is gross. I like doing Pilates. I like stretching. I like some yoga, free weights. And I think being outside, doing natural things like hiking or being in the ocean, you know, maybe learning to surf or things like that, that you're in touch with nature. That's also a really good exercise.
Swimming is like, it gives you a total workout all over, you know, and just people have forgotten. And there is the ocean right there that you can, you know, go to. We don't actually use pools because of the chlorine, but I know that there are lots of pools out there that are starting to get into
salt water.
Mm-hmm. Salt water, but a lot of the ones that we've seen are cut with chlorine a little bit because of, you know, because they can't totally clean it with just salt. So
yeah, yep. I want to switch gears and talk about, you know, too much cell phone, too much social media. Everyone is just glued on their smartphones anymore. Have you looked into some of the health implications of being exposed to too much Wi-Fi?
Oh, definitely. There's a movie called Resonance, or We Are Frequency of Being, Beings of Frequency, that I highly recommend it for everyone to see in case I don't explain it very well. But, you know, we are made of waves. We are both particles and waves because we do have light. And for people who don't believe in a soul, will also believe that we are made of waves. And that means that anything that generates a frequency or, you know, that is unnatural will interfere with our normal biology. If it's part of nature, like the sun is made of EMFs, tons of EMFs, but we have been accustomed to it. Certain levels that come from the earth, like the Schumann resonance, we resonate with that harmoniously. But if it's coming from something artificial, like the cell phone or, you know, non-ionizing radiation, even like that, can greatly affect our cells. Our cells vibrate because of heat, and you know, these things puncture. And if you think about it, like for babies, we use the Doppler is not as bad, but the ultrasounds that we routinely use on babies multiple times during a pregnant woman's visit is not really good for them. It just heats up their cells, and you know, all kinds of things can just switch around in there. And you know, when we wonder how come my baby gets this and gets that, you know, and most of it is unexplained. And I really do believe it's from radiation.
Yeah, well, there's actually a lot of research about electromagnetic radiation, how it affects our natural rhythms. I was just looking at a couple studies of how Wi-Fi increases the risk of developmental issues, especially right. growing children. It actually messes with cell growth. You know, plants right. don't grow well by Wi-Fi routers. In fact, they die, you know?
Yeah.
And then using MRI technology, a lot of research is performed, I think it was just last year, found that people exposed to, was it 4G radiation, had several areas of reduced brain activity.
Yeah.
And it also reduces sperm movement and causes DNA fragmentation, like you were explaining. So, I mean, this is serious stuff. I mean, yeah. I tell my friends about this, and a lot of them think, you know, oh, put on your tinfoil hat, you know, and I'm like, well, actually, that can shield and ground you. But I mean, they're putting it in their pocket, the cell phone. They're
yeah.
putting it right at their nightstand.
Bras,
and their know? Bras. I mean, this is awful, right? I mean, this is cancer causing, ultimately.
Yeah. Apple, those cell phone companies know this, too. They put it in their fine print that they will not be held responsible if anything happens. And nobody knows this. Apple has a little thing, I don't know exactly where, inside the phone that says that you should only use your phone at a certain distance from you. So, and how do we use our cell phones? We put it right next to our head, and we store it, you know, right on our hip, in our bra. But nobody knows this. They are covering their butts, and we don't care. We just don't pay attention because...
Yeah, I don't do that. I hardly talk on the phone anymore. And we try and not have Wi-Fi, but we have cables running everywhere in the house, you know, to do yeah. cable internet instead. Yeah, I mean, it's serious stuff, and people just, eh. Yeah, it's just conspiracies. You're just worried about it. And it's like, actually, the research is there. These are huge mega companies. They're making tons yeah. of money. You think they're going to tell you the truth about right. this research, you know?
There was a teenager that I talked to on this site, you know, that buys and sells used clothing. And she goes, you know, she says, why would the government allow these things to be sold to the public if it wasn't healthy? Well, I can name a million things.
Of course.
The government allows that isn't healthy because it's, you know, they're just in cahoots with big industry.
People are naive. They let other people do the thinking for them. These government agencies, which we know are corrupt and paid off and bought, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I really wanted to switch gears since you can talk about so much here. You're also... You seem to be a critic of feminism. You're anti-feminist. You're more trad wife. You like to stay at home. You know, you believe that that's healthy for women. So what can you say about feminism and how it's affecting modern day women?
That's a big one. Well, it deludes women into thinking that they will just be more powerful, that they think that they deserve more by being, you know, more vocal about this. And they delude themselves that they want to be equal when they actually want to be more. For those that are Christians, they think that it's just all about equality, but it's not. And, you know, feminism, just like the low-fat diet, is not encouraging families, not encouraging... poor baby, not encouraging, you know, the family unit to be strong enough for the society to be better as a whole. And you really need to have strong families. You really need to have, you know, you take control of your children because otherwise the state will do that for you. You know, that's why homeschooling for us is such a big thing. We are planning on homeschooling our child and she's, you know, fairly young, but, you know, we're set on doing that. And because we know that not just the things that they teach in schools are bad. It's also the things that they require for, you know, from a health perspective, require for children to have, like vaccinations. And, you know, there's a whole list of them that you must have. And otherwise, you're a threat. And so we're taking charge of that area, too. And so, you know, we need a solid family unit. And feminism takes that away from us.
Yeah, it doesn't put it as something that's really important. Feminists are not encouraging women, hey, you should get married and have some kids, right? You'll be happy if you do, right? Also, yeah, you mentioned you're a Christian and you're seeing a lot of feminists in the church. You know, I grew up going to Christian churches, but I don't remember ever meeting feminists, you know, but it seems like it's really changed. How has that crept into the Christian church?
It's because they want to have it all. You know, they think that they can just have this and that and still be a follower of Christ and be virtuous, yet, you know, do the opposite of what the scripture is saying, you know, to honor and respect your husband, just like threw that out of the door, you know. And a husband and a wife is what is what composes a marriage and that kind of thing. So it's just like the Bible is gone, you know. You can be a Christian and be Kim Kardashian and, you know, and Kanye West. You can claim that you're a Christian and do all these things and be a transgender. And it just, it doesn't make any sense. But so I used to actually buy into a little bit of feminism because I wanted to, you know, I'm a very entrepreneurial person. I wanted to go and take my career to, you know, different places. I wanted to travel and I didn't want to get settled down and get married. But I realized that, you know, it's a very lonely life to do that. You know, like, what are you going to do when you're 80? Are you still going to be happy going around and doing all these things? And, you know, it, there's so much fulfillment, I realized, in being a wife and being a mom. You know,
that, yeah, that, it's true. You've also said, too, that business and housewifery are compatible, right? So talk about that, because a lot of people think that it means, oh, you're just going to give up on all pursuits and any kind of future, well, right? So tell us about that.
I've never been happier in my entire life, you know, and it's not like people who believe these things, people who are Christians and are traditionalists aren't necessarily rich and living a glamorous life. You know, we, if you've seen some of our blog posts, my husband is chemically sensitive. So for a while there, while I was pregnant, we were actually living in the car.
That's wow, how
bad
really?
It was, you know, like we were worse off than people who are living in a slums because we can't just take the government's help and live in one of those, you know, complexes. We just couldn't, or he couldn't live anywhere at all because he was so sick, chemically aware, and, you know, mold and EMFs were bothering him at his lowest point. You know, it's not, it's all about the values. Femininity and traditionalism is all about your values. It doesn't matter what you have on the surface. It's all about what you believe in. And that's the same with love, right? It's not about the outside. It's about what you, it's not about your situation, but it's about how you respond to the situation.
So, you know, the word feminine is thrown around a lot and cultural Marxists always say, oh, what is that? That's a social construct. It doesn't really exist. What's masculine and feminine? I fully disagree. But what do you think it means to be feminine? A lot of women can have different interpretations of it, but what are some aspects? I drew up some aspects before this show too that I'll share with you, but I'm just curious what you think it is.
I'd love to hear your perspective. Well, obviously I don't have hair that's, you know, down to my butt, you know, and I wear pants. So I am not incredibly strict on that. I'm not, you know, really into the, you know, point by point, very detailed, it must be this, it must be that, because there is a passage in the Bible that says that you must not look like a male, and a lot of Christians take that seriously. You know, they don't wear pants, they don't cut their hair. I guess they've forgotten that Samson had really long hair and lost his power when Delilah cut it. But to me, femininity means that you are embracing your, you know, natural tendency as a female and celebrating it, you know, celebrating your tendencies. So if you enjoy cooking, or if you enjoy having a large family, or just cleaning up and doing things like that, you know, housewifery, don't let anyone bully you into thinking that that is a very lazy and lowly occupation, and that it's not even, and that it's not even an occupation at all. It's, you know, that, like Hillary said, that we are, was it Hillary or somebody, you know, that said that we are as housewives not contributing to society, and that we're lazy and must be doing something.
Michelle
Obama. Oh, is it Michelle Obama? I think it was. Yeah.
Wow. It's like, no, you're raising future citizens that are probably going to pay taxes to take care of everyone else. Yeah.
Spartans probably, you know, their Spartans knew that the moms are there to raise their future warriors, and we're very important.
Very important, exactly. The moms raise the future kings and the warriors and the leaders. It's one of the most important jobs there is. I like, too, that you brought up how being feminine isn't about having super long hair and wearing a skirt down to your ankles. No offense, you know, it's not.
Yeah,
no offense to Ayla, but, you know, it's not like dressing like some of the Mormons do, right? You don't have to be that way. Well, I drew up a list. So if it's kind of long, but I'll share it. I think being feminine, part of that for me is, you know, keeping up your physical appearance, right? That's important. I think making the home lovely and orderly, not being sloppy. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for me anyway. Oh, that's funny. Knowing how to cook healthy meals. I think that's good. Having a family, of course, and being nurturing to them. I think women who are feminine also value things that are beautiful. Mm-hmm. They celebrate the change in season and the earth's natural cycles. Yeah. You know, we hone in on our intuitive spiritual side because we really are. I think that's important. For me, it would also be, I think also for you, is, you know, using things of the earth, resources of the earth as much as possible.
Yeah.
I think that keeps us grounded and feminine. I think, too, it's not about caring about equality and a lot of the kind of liberal politics, you know, because you want to be the best. A lady wants to be the best. She's a constant work in progress, wants to be the best, wants to have the best, you know. I think we talked about this earlier, too, but being truthful and honest. And there was a hashtag going around about lies you tell. And I think you had tweeted, like, I don't tell lies, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Then you can take that the other way.
I think, too, it's important to not become bitter or negative too often, because I think that looks bad, doesn't it? It looks bad. It feels bad. I don't think that a classy woman does that. Not losing your cool in public. You know, I've lost a couple times on Facebook, you know, people asking for super personal questions, but, you know, try and not lash out unless it's in defense of those you love. I think also not being catty with other women. You have to support other women, right?
Yeah.
Don't attack other women. That's a very unfeminine thing to do. Uh-huh. And of course, being sensual for your husband, you know?
Right.
Remember to not let yourself go. Don't have the mom hair and the mom pants on too much. You know what I mean?
I wrote an article that's called Honesty, Not Modesty in the Bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess a lot of people think that if you are, you know, generally a modestly dressed woman, then you are wearing, you know, the 50s big puffy sleeves and, you know, long gowns in the bedroom. That's not the case at all. You know, I was actually given as a, you know, I guess a bridal shower gift, like granny panties. And
really?
I mean, they were pretty, but they were granny panties. And so I'm like, no.
Oh, jeez.
This is a form of birth control.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
it's like a chastity belt or something, you know? So what is, you know, some misconceptions then about femininity? It's like you said, it's like you wear granny panties. I think it does, you know, being feminine doesn't mean that you're weak, right? Or that you're a pushover or a woman who can't take care of herself, right? I mean, you can take care of business when you need to still.
I mean, if you want to think of it in terms of equality, men and women, sure, are, you know, equal in worth. But they have a different sphere of influence. You know, they can do other things better than men because men don't want to deal with that, you know, naturally. Like, so, you know, like changing diapers, or I know, you know, the best cooks in the world are probably men, but like on a day-to-day basis, not as an art form, women love to do that, you know, generally.
It's true, yeah.
So, you know, those kinds of things, we just do other things that we enjoy better. And, you know, that's how we actually, or I prepared myself, you know, before I got married, to have this talk, you know, and this expectation with my husband, my fiance then, that we are not going to force each other to do something that we don't do well doing. You know, we can help, like I can help him, you know, do something with a car, or he can help me do the dishes. But, you know, it helps, I think, lessen the arguments if you have that clear understanding that, oh, I'll do the dishes, I'll do the cooking, you know, the majority of the time. And if you want to help, sure, but I'm not going to expect you to do this. And, you know, don't expect me to do that. And we had that understanding right from the beginning. And that was excellent. You know, it was great. You know, it was a great marriage saver because
yeah, it doesn't have to be so rigid all the time. You know, it's just a matter of the couple, right? Exactly what they're good, what you're good at, what they're bad at. And everyone has good days and bad days. You have to help each other out and get it done. But naturally, yeah, there's things that women prefer to do. You know, I like interior design. I like making the house look nice. My husband doesn't care so much about that. You know what I mean? He's good at all the technology stuff. I don't want anything to do with it. You know, I think we just naturally fall into those roles of what we're good at and what we enjoy to do. And then that's when you really see the divide of what is feminine and what is masculine, you know?
And feminists, like, they expect men to be able to do what we do at home. They just want it all. It's like, you know, you should be. Michelle Obama recently just said that, you know, if you're making deals in a golf course all day long and not coming home and, you know, doing your part, you know, then there must be something wrong that you're doing. Like, well, first of all, making deals in a golf course, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. And she was just saying that, I guess, coming home and being involved in the way the mom is involved, you know, that should happen, I guess, within a home. But, you know, and she's prescribing that's what must be done in a home, that a husband comes home and does the dishes, changes the diaper, you know, does everything the woman does. And so it's like, so he works and brings home the bacon too, you know, of all this. And you're like expecting way too much of him.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like teamwork, does it?
No.
Yeah, and it's also this idea too, that if you're a traditional woman and you want that life, that you're uneducated or you don't read or you don't research. Clearly, you and I both read and we research. We know what's going on in the world. We're still interested in politics. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that we're just idiots that are like Stepford wives completely programmed by our husbands, right?
Yeah, and in fact, we have more time to read.
it's true. I would argue that we actually know more than a lot of these career women who are busy pushing papers. We can actually be home and read things and learn about things and expand our understanding, right?
We were not like struggling to keep our jobs intact. So we don't actually, you know, care about our works. We at home, we do, because it's this is our life, you know. Like, same with homeschooling, you invest in it so much because you know that you're making a difference. And, you know, if you just send your kids to school, they're just trying to get that A, trying to please their parents, trying to please the teacher. So, you know, you take charge of it when you're at home, and you take charge of it when you're a wife and this is your job, because you know that it's important.
Yeah, I think you gotta look at it like, you're a regal queen. You're a queen of the house. But every now and then you might have to step up and kind of be a shield maiden in society, right? You know, I just try and think of it in those terms of like the old days, how it was, the old archetypes that come back. But one of those other things too, you brought up business and housewifery. They're compatible, because some women, they can be home and they can earn extra money doing things on home or online, or you have a blog, right? There's things that you can do.
Yeah, tons of things. And especially now, you know, I know we don't use wireless radiation, but we don't have our cell phones, we don't have our tablets, but we do have, we do work online. So we have a blog and we buy and sell things, and I'm a jewelry designer, and we do all these things online. And because this is definitely a blessing, you know, being able to work from home and still, you know, support the family, and my husband does the same thing. So you can definitely do all these things now. So there's no excuse, you know, to not stay at home if you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Continue working.
So I know also this was kind of unexpected, but I told you that we talk about a lot of Eurocentric topics here. You know, I've been kind of waking up to my own culture and the importance of it. And I really feel that there's a war on Europeans in so many different ways. And you told me that you also sympathize with some of the Eurocentric, you know, ideas and European preservation. So tell us about that.
Well, it became alive and real, the problems that you guys are facing. And it's great because I can say you guys without being offended, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
When my husband, when he first got married, lost his job. Because, you know, and he said that the people who are being hired are people who are low skilled, they are minorities, and they're just taking less money in, you know, and some of them are probably illegals.
Yeah.
You know, the jobs that he took in before we got married and after we got married. So he said that white males are just being eradicated, you know, being emasculated, and there's not a lot of opportunities for them because apparently if you're a white male, you're a threat to society.
Yeah, it's true. So you mean you're not cashing in on all that white privilege that your husband automatically gets? You know, he has this like magic credit card you can just go pay all the bills with, right?
Yeah, he tells me that and it's true, I don't deserve it at all. I mean, just because, I mean, I look like I am yellow, but I'm not. I'm actually brown. But I get a lot of the privileges that I don't deserve just because, you know, from looking at me, oh yeah, she is a minority. And it's true. I mean, I do get that, you know, automatically just because, and it's totally not fair. And we shouldn't want that at all just because it's, you know, it doesn't take into account our natural abilities, our talents. It just writes all that off as if those don't exist. And just because you look a certain way, then you're, you know, you get the privilege of having this job and get the privilege of, you know, my respect.
It's funny how that works, how liberals are keep screaming about racism, and then they actually are the racist ones that are like, yeah, you can't have this job because you're white and you're a cisgendered male. And if you put Christian in that category too, you're at the bottom of the list, right?
Definitely. And if you're a Christian who is conservative or a Christian who's libertarian or, you know, subscribe to all these other conspiracies, then you're definitely on the minority.
So has your husband said, well, offered any solutions or reasons why these things are ongoing?
The reasons why they're ongoing is because of, you know, the things that are happening in the news, so all the things that are being cooked up, you know, the false flags here and there, they are intentionally being done. They're intentionally being put on the spotlight in the news. And I know that for sure. They're pushing it because they want you to think that, you know, that white people are, you know, racist, you know, and they must be taken away, and it creates this insidious idea in most people's minds, even people who are white, that white people are bad, and we should be apologizing for all, or you guys should be apologizing for all your sins that you've committed in the past, and, you know, you've got all this shame built upon you, and, you know, like, If you are a liberal arts white person, then you're just going to say, oh, of course, you know, I sympathize with that. You know, why would I disagree? And so, you know, and the colleges teach this, of course. And, you know, I guess it sounds good to want to side with the people who are being oppressed or the minorities, but all it is that it sounds good. It's not actually helping any cause. It's causing more division. It's causing more, you know, just focusing on one and ignoring all the others. You know, we're ignoring the minority, and then now the minority is to believe that white people are just, you should be taken as individuals. You know, they're not, there are some people who are bad, but the same way as Black people or Asians, you know, in an individual level, there are some that are criminals and there are some that are not. But
yeah, it's this interesting idea that they're pushing right now. And it's very genocidal that if white people were just to blend with everyone in the whole world, then there wouldn't be any more problems, which is really a foolish notion, right? Or the idea that only white people are responsible for all the problems in the world, as if no other people was guilty of war and conquest and slavery, right?
Yeah, well, the minorities should speak up because there is a lot of genocide going on within minorities, you know, in cultures and tribes. We can see that. Even in modern day tribes, they kill each other, you know, because that is what humans do, not what white people do. That's what humans do.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I just wonder how this is going to end. You know, living in Europe, we see they've opened the doors to mass immigration. They're flooding in from all over the world into Europe right now. And if you don't like it, you're a racist, right?
Yeah, that's really sad. My family is actually from the Philippines, and nobody can be a citizen of that country unless both of your parents are citizens. So how racist is that, right? And we're calling the United States and in Europe racist because they're not letting droves of people in who didn't, you know, go through the, you know, the, I guess, the step-by-step process of getting a visa or, you know, just a regular path, which is a long path, but it's still the legal way. You know, they're just allowing everybody to come in without going through the through it legally. You know, it's very one-sided.
I think it's perfectly healthy and natural. The Filipinos should want to be with the Filipino people and protect their culture and their heritage. I think that that's perfectly healthy. You know, what's the population there? It's 100 million or something?
I actually don't know.
Yeah.
Pretty populated.
Yeah, I know. It's just a shame. You know, well, thank you for saying something about that. You know, I wish more minorities, if you will, would speak up. And it's funny because white people are the minority on the planet. You know, there's like more non-white people on the planet. But I wish that there were more people that would speak up in defense of white people and say, hey, they're not evil, wicked people. They're not all racists. You know, like, stop attacking them. Everyone should have a right to exist without being attacked. You know, for me, I just want to live in a country where people like white people, where I'm not attacked all the time. I mean, I didn't even think about race until I kept hearing how evil white people were. And then I had to defend myself. I had to speak up.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it should come from people like me who aren't. Well, I do have a little bit of of Portuguese in me, but I do look mostly Asian. So, you know, if you're defending yourselves and you're white, you're just going to ignore that. But definitely more people, Ben Carson even, you know, should step up to the plate and say the unpopular statements that he says. Because, you know, we need to prove that we are people who are thinking and we're not just polarizing because, you know, because you're white and you're just polarizing with the rest of your white culture because that's what you believe in. But no, we think, and thinking people from other races need to step up and say, well, this needs to be preserved for X, Y, and Z reasons. And
yeah, and then some people think that just because you love your people and that you want to preserve them, that you automatically hate other people, or that I don't want to talk to people of other races, which is absurd, you know? It's a straw man. Just because you want to protect your own doesn't mean you want to kill or not associate with other people.
Yeah.
It's that we actually love diversity and want to protect diversity, right? I don't want us to be the same. And I think there is a New World Order conspiracy, if you will, to make us all one culture, one same people, one same system. I mean, you see that happening.
And yeah, the powers that be get to dictate what culture that is. It's not what you think it is. You know, if you're of a certain culture, it's not your culture. It's not their culture. It's whatever culture they get to say. Yeah. And it's all game. And we're just being pawns in that game.
Well, I appreciate your time today. It's been so nice getting to know you, and we'll have to do this again sometime. But please share your website details again and anything else you want to tell our audience.
Sure. My website is alamodest.com. That's alamodest.com. Not to be confused with Allah. So I do get a lot of Muslims on
there. Difference.
For what reason? And modernlifesurvivalist.com is our health site. So, yeah.
Right. Well, thank you, Rachel. It's been a pleasure.
Been a pleasure, too. Thanks, Lena.
Well, folks, it's important to not forget your health. Exercise, eat clean organic food, limit the wheat, remove the chemicals, buy natural fiber fabrics, and be conscious of what you buy and what you put into and onto your body. You'll look and feel better and live longer. And try to not spend too much time on your electronic devices. Get outside and recharge. Get grounded by putting your feet in the grass, sand, and soil. We have to remember to take breaks and get outside for the sake of our sanity. As always, be sure to check redice.tv regularly for more radio and live commentary. And if you want to help donate to support this show and our live streams, click the donate button on redice.tv/radio314. Thanks to our members for all your support. We could not do this without you, and we certainly couldn't remain ad or sponsor free. All right, that's it for now. Everyone, have a good night.
She's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady. Talking about that little lady. She's always-